Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
All right, hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us today. June is a crazy month. It's right smack dab in the middle of the off season, but this year we've got the NBA draft. I was thinking about this earlier today. We've got the NBA draft with the first opportunity that I can remember in many years to have someone with not only an IU connection or a somewhat local connection back to our state, but obviously a player from right here where we're at, where we're broadcasting from here in the New Albany, Jeffersonville region that you guys, like me, have had a chance to watch really grow up and play the high school game and, of course, move into college and so forth. So that's going to be really fun, and I want to give plenty of attention to that. I don't want to overdo it because, it is a one-night thing in June, but I do think that there's a lot of interest in what's going to happen between now and then and, of course, what the latest is on Romeo Langford. So now that we're into June, we'll kind of have some NBA draft watch and going to try to bring on some guests that maybe know a lot more about this than your average person and can speak on how the draft process works and some things that evaluators of some of these NBA teams might be looking for or seeing or even not seeing with Romeo Langford. And I guess the question still remains, we know he's done some interviews. Is he going to work out for any teams? Is that cast going to come off of his hand, his thumb, and allow him the opportunity to go through some workouts one-on-one or in small groups like you've seen the Pacers do a lot recently? They've worked a lot of guys out in their practice facility, and Romeo would get lots of opportunities to do that if he's healthy, if that cast is off, and if he chooses to do it as well. He could just say, no, not going to do it, have had problems with the hand, going to let it heal and see what happens. But going to be interesting to see what happens with that now that we're in June and getting closer to the draft, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun as well. Really excited for draft night. I think we all feel confident he's going to get drafted in the first round. I think I've said 13 to 17 is just all the things I've read is kind of my projection, but it is going to be really interesting to see where it all works out. So we'll talk about some, not necessarily just today, but throughout the month as well as we get closer to the draft. Let's take a look at the guest lineup for today's show and tell you what we're going to do today, try to accomplish today in this hour here on the Hoosier Report. Segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines, stories, the top IU and Southern Indiana sports news and stories here in the area. Some headlines from last night, the Indiana-Kentucky junior game last night, the second game in that series, and Indiana gets a revenge win. We'll talk some about that, including who the top performers were in that contest last night. Also, Trey Galloway is a hot name right now as a basketball player overall, but specifically as an IU target. He was on the IU campus this time a week ago for an official visit, and he had some good performances here over the last few days with the Junior All-Stars for Indiana. And his recruiting is really picking up, so we'll cover some of that as well. Also, a local note in baseball, we now know where Silver Creek will play. There were some games that were delayed because of weather over the weekend. They were gotten in last night, and now the IHSA has assigned times and locations for Semi-State baseball this weekend. We'll have the broadcast here on the Big X, and we'll tell you all about that coming up in the headline segment as well. Later in the program, Scott Chalk, he's the game director for the Kentucky All-Stars involved in the juniors, which wrapped up yesterday at Jeffersonville. He's obviously involved in the senior All-Stars as well. He's a longtime coach from the state of Kentucky. He's also a really good friend of mine, and I've known him for years and years. He's going to join us to kind of talk and promote the All-Star stuff this weekend. We'll talk some about the junior series last night that concluded. We'll talk some about the senior series that is this weekend as well. And, of course, the local game, even though it is on the Kentucky side of things, is Friday at Bellarmine, which is going to be a really fun game and a fun place to take in a game like that. So try to make plans and try to get your ticket early as well. He'll tell you more about how to get tickets and that sort of thing. But should be a fun night for some summer basketball on Friday. And then, of course, the Indiana and Kentucky teams go north to Indianapolis. After that, they'll play Saturday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So we'll talk to Scott Chalk, Coach Chalk, later in the program about the All-Star Series. And then coming up later in the program today, Greg Doyle is out sick today, so we're going to miss him today. But coming up later in the program today, Drew Davis of Pigs.com. He was at the Junior All-Star game last night. He's all on top of IU recruiting and IU targets, especially those guys from within the state of Indiana like Trey Galloway, like Anthony Lille and others. And we're going to catch up with him about how the game went last night and what's the latest with some of the targets as we enter the month of June. Keep in mind, the month of June, a lot of the players we talk about, they're going to not be playing AAU in the travel ball and the shoe circuit. That stuff really slows down this month. June is a big month for players to play with their high school team. It's not as advertised as the regular season, but there are a lot of opportunities for teams to play together and get better together. There's a summer league here in the area. I'll tell you the schedule of those games tonight as well. But that's what we'll talk with Drew about, what the latest is and what the expectations are this month and even this summer for some of the IU targets that are out there, including those guys from within the state's borders. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Last night, the Indiana Junior All-Stars, the boys, got back on track. What's crazy is they built a huge lead on Sunday over Kentucky and then ended up getting beat by double figures. Last night, they led by as many as 40 points in the game and went on to hold their lead this time. They won by a 142-105 score at Johnson Arena last night over the Kentucky Junior All-Stars. I couldn't make the game. It's just a crazy time. But the first thing I did when I saw the box score, it wasn't to look at Trey Galloway or Anthony Lille, some of the IU targets. I wanted to see how Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville did playing on his own home court. He's a player that's an interesting prospect that I think still has his best days of basketball ahead of him as a senior, or maybe even in college will be his best days. He's got some Division I interest, a lot of mid-major schools. Nebraska, under its previous staff, had offered him a scholarship. I don't know if that offer holds or not under the new staff that's there. But last night, Coleman, 22 points. He tied with Tony Perkins, who also had 22 for the junior all-star team. But just a really solid stat line for Trey Coleman last night. He was 6 of 8 from the field, 2 of 3 from two-point range, 4 of 5 from three-point range, a perfect 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He played 23 minutes in that contest as well. So getting a lot done in the minutes that he was in the game. Big game for Trey Coleman, especially as he enters this month with Jeffersonville. The Red Devils expected to be really good next year. They return everybody from their sectional championship roster a year ago. Trey Coleman is the type of player that can be the difference between a good team that wins a sectional and maybe even competes for a regional next year and a team that could break through to the semi-state or perhaps even beyond here from Southern Indiana. So good to see him with a really good game. I mean, he's going against the best players in Kentucky. There are some really talented players on that roster as well. I don't know that as many are getting the D1 looks that some of the Indiana juniors are, at least at this point in their career. But that's a solid performance. And to do it on your home court, that has to be a big momentum builder. I can only imagine that Coach Luce was smiling from ear to ear last night with Coleman's big performance. As far as the IU targets last night, another solid game is what we'll call it for Trey Galloway. He had 10 points. He hit 5 of 7 three-pointers. He was 5 of 8 overall from the field. He continues to do those small things. A solid defensive performance, I understand, for Galloway last night as well. And the other big IU target that you might pay attention to is Anthony Lille. Only had 5 points in the game last night. Didn't get a lot of shooting opportunities, but nonetheless, 5 points, and he followed up. I think he had double figures in the game Sunday against the Kentucky All-Stars. So Indiana does what they need to do. They bounce back and get a win over Kentucky. This is a good idea and a fairly new idea to put the best juniors from the two states against each other in a two-game series, exactly like the seniors this weekend Of course, the fanfare isn't there. They're not playing in the biggest of gyms. They're playing in high school facilities. But still, I think it's a great thing for the two states and for the future of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series as well, to let the juniors experience the same thing and understand the importance of representing your state and how good this Kentucky team can be. I mean, obviously, they got down twice, Sunday and yesterday, and on Sunday, Kentucky came back and not only came back to get back in the game and make it close, but they got the lead and built the lead and went on to win. So obviously Indiana should know next year that this Kentucky junior team is solid. So 1-1 is the series on the boys' side of things. That was played last night at Jeffersonville. The senior series this weekend, Bellarmine on Friday, Bankers Life Fieldhouse on Saturday as well. Silver Creek in the baseball state tournament. Normally, when you play a regional game and you win that regional championship, whether it's baseball, softball, whatever, basketball, girls, boys, whatever sport, sometime later that night or definitely by Sunday morning, you know your assignment to what Southern Semi-State you're going to be playing, what location your game will be at, as well as what the time will be. But because of some weather that moved through certain parts of the state on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, some of the championship games in different regionals across the state had to be delayed. You can't play on Sunday, so the games had to be played on Monday night. That was the case with Silver Creek's opponent, Edgewood. They played Frankfort. That game was delayed because of weather, and it was rejoined last night. Edgewood went on to win. Silver Creek 23-6. They're going to now take on Edgewood, a 23-win team as well. They're 23-3. That'll be a 1 o'clock first pitch, and we now know the location as well. It's the South Semi-State at Mooresville High School. A lot of people say, where is Mooresville? It's a little to the shade southwest of Indianapolis, and that will be the site not only of Silver Creek and Edgewood. That's the 3A game, but following that game will be Columbus East, who beat Jeffersonville in the semifinal of the 4A regional over the weekend. They will take on Avon as well. So two good games on Saturday. We'll be at the 3A game in Mooresville to bring you pitch-by-pitch coverage of Silver Creek and Edgewood. Our coverage will begin about 1240, 1245 or so on Saturday afternoon from Mooresville High School. If you can't make the drive up, you got other plans, so make sure you tune us in. Plenty of ways to catch Silver Creek baseball this week, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, streaming online at thebigxsportsradio.com, TuneIn app, all sorts of different ways. So make sure you're with us this weekend supporting the last team from our area still alive, the Silver Creek Dragons, playing in the 3A championship game. It's just a one-game deal, too. You win, you go on. If Silver Creek wins on Saturday, they are headed to the 3A championship game at Victory Field the following Saturday. Bad news is, if you're tracking the 3A bracket, Andrean, the team that beat Silver Creek a year ago from up north, from far northwestern Indiana, they are a really, really good baseball program. And a lot of their players from that state championship team are back. I think the ace pitcher, I can't remember his name, but he is back as well. And Andrean this weekend, they will be in action in the Northern 3A Semi-State. They will take on Yorktown, who's 18-14. Andrean is 34-1. That's amazing. They've played 35 games heading into the Semi-State round this weekend. That game will be at Municipal Stadium in Kokomo. So, interesting stuff. The Dragons went away from a return to Victory Field, which in itself is an unbelievable experience. But you'd like to see Silver Creek, if they could find a way to get there, to come back with the state championship this time around. One other quick headline, Trey Galloway. We talked about his performance the last few days in the Indiana-Kentucky Junior Series. Kyle Nedenrip, who joins us every Friday on the program, had a great, I'll call it a feature piece on Trey Galloway. His recruiting really is beginning to heat up. He's had some schools, not just from Indiana, not just from the Midwest, not just from the Big Ten, become involved with him, start calling him more often. A couple scholarship offers have come recently, in addition to the Indiana, the Purdue, the Notre Dame interest that he's had now for a number of years. But the interesting thing about him, in addition to what type of player he is and the fact that he actually values defense, which is something that you don't always see from top-level prospects, is the life that he lives at Culver Military Academy. We had a little look into what Culver is when Silver Creek and Culver played in the state championship. Not only did we have, obviously, Brandon Hoffman on of Silver Creek, but we had Mark Galloway, Trey's dad on to talk about Trey, to talk about his team, and we got into some of that. What type of school is Culver? There's rumors about, you know, they're a prep school, they recruit, they do this, they do that. He really, I thought, dispelled some of those myths in our interview, but it is a different situation, a different life that he leads, being at a school where there's dorms and basically a boarding school in many ways. A lot of the students that go there are from around the world, and the list of alumni, just athletic alumni, is unbelievably impressive if you look at some of the names that have come out of there. But check it out. I just retweeted it. It's from Kyle Nedenrip. Really good story on Trey Galloway for IU fans that I know are becoming more and more interested with him, as it looks like Indiana's interest and his interest in Indiana continues to grow. That's a look at the headlines each day, a look at the top IU and Southern Indiana sports news here in the area. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Scott Chalk, the director of the Kentucky All-Stars, we're going to be talking and promoting the weekend series between the seniors, the Friday night game at Bellarmine. He'll tell you how to get tickets, what they cost, all those good things. Also, we'll recap the junior series as well. It was a 1-1 split with Indiana bouncing back last night, at least on the boys' side, for a victory over Kentucky. Scott Chalk joins us next. We talk Indiana-Kentucky All-Stars right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, Tuesday edition of the program. Greg Doyle is sick today, so we will not get our weekly chance to hear from Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, but I've got a good replacement, Scott Chalk. He's the game director for the Kentucky side of the upcoming Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series. Of course, this weekend is the main event. Friday night, the game in Bellarmine, across the river in Louisville. Saturday night, the two teams will converge in Indianapolis for the second game in that series. But, Scott, Coach, before we get to this weekend, I do want to recap a very good series between the Indiana and Kentucky juniors, both the boys and the girls. The second game of that series was last night at Jeffersonville High School here nearby. And I think that's been and will continue to be a really good addition to this rivalry between the two states. It lets the players know at a younger age even what's out there from the opposite state, and also how important it is to represent and wear that Indiana or that Kentucky uniform in this historic series.
Well, first of all, Matt, I mean, put me on as a replacement for Greg Doyle. I mean, talk about no pressure. My gosh, how am I ever going to live up to that? I mean, jeez. But I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a really good weekend of basketball. And like you said, it is definitely a way for them to kind of get the idea of what the series is about, which is a little more rivalry than it is All-Stars, you know, and it's a lot of competition and a lot of intensity. So it was a good weekend. We split, obviously, with the boys and the girls. So it worked out to be very competitive, although last night the boys' game got out of control at the end, and they just took us apart at the end. We kind of lost our composure, and they really laid it on us. But I think we beat them first night, and that kind of got everybody motivated. So it was exciting.
Talking with Scott Chalk, he's the director of the Kentucky All-Stars. Coach, I want to spend a lot of time promoting this weekend, just special games to me, and I know a lot of people in both states, to see this rivalry continue and this rivalry receive the attention that it deserves. But one thing I'm very hopeful of, and we've heard from Mike Broughton, he's a Jeffersonville guy, not from there, but coach there, won a state championship there, still active, obviously, in basketball. Right. And as he's taken over the Indiana side of the series, he inherits an Indiana side that I think is in pretty good shape, where attendance at Bankers Life Fieldhouse has been solid. The normally, with some changes in the schedule, able to get all the players that are truly selected to be All-Stars. There's not been as many conflicts with colleges and things like that. And I know Coach Broughton has ideas, obviously, that he wants to change and move things forward to the future. On the flip side of that, we don't talk about Kentucky as much, but I know because of our longstanding relationship, the type of organizer that you are, the type of leader that you are, and you announced your retirement from teaching at least. You're going to continue to coach at a great program in Dunbar down in Lexington, but this will give you even more time to put toward a series that I know you hold near and dear to your heart after coaching in it a couple times, including last year. Having guys like Charlie Hall, now Mike Broughton, having someone like you, Scott, on the Kentucky side, I think should give fans hope that this thing can really continue on and perhaps even get back to the days where it was the dominant basketball event of the summer here in the area.
Well, I hope so. You know, the biggest thing is if, you know, I hope that people want that. That's really the question that kind of has to be answered going forward, is that are people really interested in and seeing it continue, because some of the guys like myself and Mike Broughton, who's done a great job coming on, really enjoyed, you know, cultivating a relationship with him as we've started moving forward. But some of those guys, obviously, you know, we want it to keep going and we're excited about it. We like it. But a lot of times the fans, you know, our ticket sales for this year's game at Bellarmine are not nearly what they were last year, you know, so it's just always a question that has to be answered by the public, I guess, as much as anything. It's going to be exciting. It's something unique. It's something different. It's historic, and it's like nothing else. If you come to the games, you'll see a competition, a competitive game that rivals, you know, what you'd watch on an NBA finals, I mean, or a state finals. I mean, these kids are going to get into it. The coaches are going to coach like it means everything. It's not like just an all-star game where everybody just kind of shows up, plays around, doesn't really try that hard, just kind of puts on a show. This is going to be competitive, and it's just something special. And if people, you know, give it a chance, I think they would really make it an annual event in their mind of something they just don't want to miss. That's the way it used to be. There's a lot of other things obviously now to do, and a lot of all-star games out there and AAU events and all kinds of things. So, you know, it's kind of lost some of its luster because of that in the minds of people. But if we can just get people to try it out, I think they'll see it's still unique, it's still different than anything else of its kind.
And the thing that I push, or that we talk about every year, last year you had Romeo along with others. This year, for an IU show, we talk so much about Trace Jackson Davis and Armand Franklin. They're going to be playing right here, not an hour or two away in Indianapolis, not even 45 minutes or an hour away for a regular season game. They're going to be playing, you know, 8, 9, 10 miles across the river at Bellarmine. So this is a great chance for fans, especially in Indiana, to be spoiled and get a game, the Kentucky game, right here basically in your backyard. Before we learn more, and I want to talk some about the Kentucky team and familiarize fans with your Mr. Basketball and maybe some of the good matchups we could see this weekend at Bellarmine and at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, I also want to talk a little bit about how to locate tickets. I know you mentioned ticket sales. There's still seats available. Bellarmine is an awesome place to watch a game. And also the Kentucky-Indiana game is a great game to take kids and let them meet and get autographs from these players that are all, for the most part, going to go on to play a serious level of college basketball. So tickets available, plenty, it sounds like, are available, even some good seats. How can somebody reserve some, buy some, get some today?
Right. Yeah, no question. First of all, just the tickets, the easiest way to get them is just to go to www.kentuckybasketballcoaches.org, and there's the big click here to get tickets sign right there as soon as you open it up. The other thing is the tickets are through Eventbrite, so if anybody wants to, is familiar with Eventbrite and likes that system, they can just go to Eventbrite and type in the event and it'll come up. So there's two ways to get it there. But, you know, there's a lot of good seats left. Of course, we feel like we're going to have a huge walk-up crowd this year, and so we're kind of preparing for that. People are not buying the tickets early. I think last year with Romeo and all that kind of stuff, a lot of people were anxious to get their tickets early because they were afraid it might sell out or whatever. So we had a lot of early sales last year. We're well behind that this year, so there's a lot of good seats still available. And the games, of course, are at 6 and 8 at Bellarmine on Friday night. So we feel like, you know, it's going to be quite a good game with a lot of the players that we have. And we've got not only those guys going to IU that you mentioned, but a lot of other good players in the game, including David Johnson, who will be probably the point guard at UofL next year. So, you know, he's one that I think a lot of people want to see, and I'm anxious to see him go against these guys. You know, I tell the kids before we start this thing, after we choose our team, that this is really their first college game. You know, these kids play a lot of AAU against good competition, but even in those AAU games, if you watch them, there's one or two kids on both teams that, you know, they're good high school players. But in this game, every single kid's going to play college, and he's probably going to play college at a pretty high level. So it's their first real college game where there's not going to be anybody out there that's not as good as you, and you got to bring it. So it's going to be it'll be exciting, and it'll be intense.
Scott, I know David Johnson, obviously, a name just across the river at Trinity that people are familiar with. He's quite a player, a U of L guy, so maybe that can attract some people to see a future Cardinal if IU isn't your team. But tell us more about the Kentucky boys team, maybe starting with Mr. Basketball and highlighting a couple other players that have caught your eye as you're directing things and organizing the practices and events that lead up to Friday and Saturday nights.
Well, you know, Dante Allen, of course, is Mr. Basketball in Kentucky, going to UK, quite a prolific scorer, playing at a smaller school, but he is a talent and can really put up some points, and we're hopeful that he may get a chance to play some. He's been injured, obviously got injured last year, has been rehabbing, so we don't really know what his status is going to be completely yet, but he's obviously a talent. We have some size this year that we don't normally have. We have a 7-foot kid from Hopkinsville who's kind of going to junior college and a little bit unknown, a kid named Jamarion Sharp who's really long and very athletic. Got another 6'11 kid, the Miles kid from Walton Verona, who is a real aggressive, very athletic and energetic 6'11 kid. So we've got some size. We've got the Cozart kid, who was also a Mr. Basketball candidate from Isaiah Cozart from Madison Central, who's a 6'7", 6'8 post player. So we've got a little different team than we've had maybe in the past. We have some good guards. Of course, Kiki Tandy, who can really score, is going to Xavier, who was another Mr. Basketball candidate, can put up some really put up some points. He scored 40 or 50 several times in high school. So you're going to see guys that are major, you know, Division I players across the board for both teams, and I think it'll be extremely competitive. And like I said, with our size, I think it may be a little different game than what some of the games have played out in the past. We're going to be a little bigger probably than the Indiana team, which is very unusual for this series. Usually it's the other way around.
Talking with Scott Chalk, he's the game director for the Kentucky side of the upcoming Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series. Again, Friday night at Bellarmine University, just across the river. You can buy tickets online at KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. Again, KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. We'll remind you of this throughout the week. And then Saturday night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, home of the Pacers in downtown Indianapolis. Scott, maybe a quick word on the girls game as well, some highlights from what you've seen from both sides, Mrs. Basketballs and others that stand out.
Yeah, I think the girls game is the same situation. I know Indiana has a really good group they're excited about. Being a boys coach, I'm not familiar with all the names as much as I am the boys, but obviously I know the excitement from talking to the Indiana people and the Indiana directors about their talent and what they're going to be like. So they've got some major players. This is one of the years where Indiana has already, you know, kind of put out there that everybody on the team has already signed to play Division I basketball. So they've got quite a squad of girls that really are talented and super. And I think our Kentucky team is going to be very good. Savannah Wheeler was our Miss Basketball from Boyd County and can really score the basketball, puts up a lot of points, plays with a ton of energy out there. So she's exciting to watch. And we've got several others that I think are going to be good players that are going to be entertaining to people. We feel like we've got a really competitive team and a few new faces that didn't play in the juniors that will be on the senior team this year.
Talking with Scott Chalk, game director for the Kentucky All-Stars. Coach, I've known you forever, like literally forever, since I was maybe in middle school because of our friendship and connection to a guy that taught, I know, both of us a lot on how to organize things, Eddie Ford. And so I feel like we go way, way back, and we do. I would wish you a happy retirement, but I know you well enough that with the effort and energy you put into coaching, which you're still going to continue to do at Paul Dunbar High School in Lexington, and, of course, taking on this challenge with the Kentucky-Indiana All-Stars from the Kentucky side, and I believe you're still head of the – or executive director, is that right, of the Coaches Association in Kentucky?
Right.
Which is an unbelievable group, a lot like Indiana. You guys are organized and have good – continuing education with your clinic and things like that. I would wish you happy retirement, but I know you have so many projects and are probably already looking to take on more that I don't know that it'll be much of a retirement when it's all said and done. So
No, it'll be a change. It'll be a change, but not a retirement. Not slowing down, just changing directions a little bit, trying to do some different things. And so, but I guess I appreciate that.
I guess the other feather in your cap we can talk about before you go is your team. You were the coach in addition to being the director last year. Your team last year, you were able to steal one from Romeo Langford and Jim Shannon, New Albany's coach.
That was, I have to admit, that was special. I mean, it was special. We were definitely the underdog, and they showed us why we were the underdog on the second night. We sort of woke them up, but we definitely were able to steal one the first night. The guys really, you know, had a good spirit about them, really believed in what they were trying to do, and played to a very high level, and just kind of didn't make a lot of mistakes, and, you know, pulled off a really good game plan, and I think we did a great job. And like I said, it was exciting because I think a lot of people didn't give us a chance to even come close to winning. So that was really good. And of course, the second night they came out and played great. And it made me feel good. Even Romeo's comments in the press conference the second night after they beat us in Indianapolis. And he said, hey, we got a wake up call that first night. I knew we had to come out and play. They were going to take it to us if we didn't come out and play a lot harder. So he really recognized that, and I thought that was, you know, classy for him. And of course, we wished him all the best. But it was a very, very good series last year, and I hope we can continue that. It's 2 years in a row that we've split, so if it's competitive, I think that makes it even more likely that people want to come see it.
Absolutely. Scott Chalk, game director for the Kentucky All-Stars, and a very good friend who does a great job. Coach, thanks for taking time. I know it's a busy week for you guys. Look forward to seeing you Friday night at Bellarmine, and best of luck to you and your team. Let's make it a great series for years to come.
Thank you, Matt. We really appreciate your help and everything.
Absolutely. Scott Chalk with me today, and we'll have Coach Chalk back later in the week, and I think we're going to have a couple players, maybe David Johnson, maybe the Kentucky Mr. Basketball, in addition to some things on the Indiana side for you later in the week to kind of keep this fresh and keep it out there. It's a series I believe in, and would love to see it continue, and I think we got some really good people in place in both states that will try to move this thing forward. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Indiana-Kentucky, the junior game last night. Drew Davis of Pigs.com was there. We've got some IU guys to talk about. We've got Trey Coleman locally, had a huge game, 22 points, one of the leading scorers in the game last night for the Indiana side. We'll talk some other IU recruiting notes and more coming up next right here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Tuesday program, Drew Davis of Pigs.com is with us to talk about the Indiana-Kentucky junior game last night at Jeffersonville. Some other IU basketball recruiting stuff as well coming your way here in this segment. Drew, I want to start with a player locally, Trey Coleman, last night. 22 mm-hmm. points. He had a great stat line. I think he was 4 of 5 from three-point range. He's a good prospect. He's getting a lot of Division I interest. In fact, Nebraska offered him when the last staff was in, but he really hasn't broken through to that high level just yet. I don't know if he will. I know a lot of people think he might, but if he continues to play like he did last night, I didn't see it, but boy, the stat line is impressive. Tell us about what he did so well.
Yeah, Trey was able to get free for a couple of good looks in the corner. And he was able to knock him down. I think with him, the big thing is being able to knock down perimeter shots because, you know, think about last year, this time where he was at, he really wasn't able to do that on a consistent basis. And for him, you know, he either needed to develop a shot at that time or grow a few more inches. And he started to grow a little more outward, started to improve on his ball handling, which has been big as well. And I think that's really helped him a lot. And you've seen that with Indiana Elite. He's been more willing to shoot the outside shot this spring than he was last year. So I think with continued improvement, he could be solid in that area. But I think right now, Trey really would fit well at a mid-major school like an Indiana State or an Evansville or, you know, a Missouri Valley-type program. I think that would be a good level for him.
Talking with Drew Davis, Pigs.com, here on a Tuesday edition of the program. Outstanding to see him do so well, especially on his home own home court last night at Jeffersonville. Let's get into some of the guys that we talk about regularly from an IU perspective. Trey Galloway continues to play well. He had decent numbers Sunday night in the loss and last night in the victory, and continues also to show that he's not just a scorer, not just a shooter, that he's somebody that takes some pride in defense as well, which, as we talk about with him, it's not always something you talk about when you look at a big incoming recruiting target for a school at the D1 level. You normally want to talk about their ability to score and their ability to shoot and their athleticism and all these different things. Defense has really become a lost art, and he takes pride in it. He talks about it, and other coaches are talking and buzzing about it as well.
Yeah, you know, Trey Galloway definitely fits the mold of a coach's son to a T. You know, he really, really good defender. You look back at the different types of guys he guarded throughout his junior year at Culver. You know, he guarded Keon Brooks one game. He guarded Jaden Ivey one game, and then he guarded Trey Kaufman for a little bit during the state title game. So you just look at the different types of guys he's able to match up with. And I think for him, he has a really good understanding of how to cut off angles, how to read angles. I think that's where he really excels on the defensive end. He knows how to position himself in the right spot. And that leads to, you know, a really, really good defender. And then on top of it, you know, you have a high basketball IQ with Trey as well. And I think he's also shown some strides offensively this spring. He's been really consistent. You know, during the high school season, he struggled with his perimeter shot for, you know, a time, but he was also dealing with a wrist injury that was really bothering him. And I know at one point, I think he even played one game with that wrist injury and just he couldn't shoot. But, you know, obviously the other team didn't know that at the time. But I think that's a testament to just how competitive he is, how much of a gritty kid he is. And, you know, obviously you see this spring, the results of his perimeter shot have been better now that his wrist is healthy. His shot's still a little flat, but, you know, the results are better. And I think he's you know, playing his way more towards a back-end top 100 guy. And I think he's a guy that is going to be a really solid contributor for 4 years at a high-major program.
Talking to Drew Davis, Pigs.com, IU basketball recruiting on the heels of last night's second and final Indiana-Kentucky junior game in that two-game series as well. Anthony Lill didn't have a lot of points last night. Did he not get a lot of shooting opportunities? I don't think I saw many attempted shots for him in that game last night.
No, I can't remember him shooting more than maybe one perimeter shot. And you know, he didn't play a ton of minutes either. You know, the core guys with the game being out of hand. You know, even Galloway only played 15 minutes or so. Anthony might have played a little more than that. But there just wasn't a ton of opportunities for him to put up shots last night.
Talking to Drew Davis, Pigs.com. And a lot of the players we talk about, a lot of the items we talk about, Drew and Jeff and Mike have them covered at Pigs.com. If you're a member, you can log on and read all of that content as well. Anybody else in the game last night outside of some of the regular names we talk about? I know the Ivy kid is already committed to Purdue, but anyone else in that junior class, in that game, in the state that you think Indiana fans should continue to watch and pay attention to as they perhaps could pop on the radar even more than what they may be right now as a potential 2020 player in addition to Galloway and Lille?
I don't know if there's anybody that's going to be like a definite, you know, on the radar guy for IU other than Galloway and Lille. But there is one guy that I would pay attention to, and that's Nigel Pack from Lawrence Central. He's certainly on the radar. Indiana's at least reached out, talks about the potential of a visit. He mentioned that last night. Obviously nothing set in stone, but there has been some contact there. Nigel's played really well this spring since making the move over to Indy Heat and being the point guard for their 17U team that you know, surprised people and qualified for the Peach Jam. But he's you know, a really smart player. Has a, you know, not the most, he's not the most, you know, quick player. He's not the most, you know, he doesn't have the most size of any guy you're going to see, but he understands how to get by guys, has a good ability to change pace. He understands that how to do that really well. And, you know, he's really good in the mid-range game. I've noticed this spring he's been able to knock those down and, you know, even off the bounce as well. And he's been solid from the perimeter as well. And, you know, he's a guy that I think could end up, you know, at a school like a, you know, obviously Butler or Kansas State have offered him. They're going after him. And, you know, he could for sure end up at a school like that. But obviously with Indiana reaching out already, he's a guy to keep tabs on.
talking to Drew Davis of Pigs.com. Yeah, Nigel Pack, that definitely coming out of the spring, a hot name, a player that's received some attention that he didn't have going into the spring as well. Going to be interesting. One other note I wanted to bring up with you, it's kind of an interesting time for the players. I know if you're in the All-Star Series as a junior, you've got that to deal with at the start of the month, and I'm sure it's a lot of fun to battle Kentucky. But for everyone else, and even for those guys now that that series is over with, June is a time where you get back with your high school team, and we're going to have some activity on the court at Assembly Hall and at Cook Hall coming up here over the next couple weekends with some games. A lot of the top Indiana teams and Midwestern high school teams will be there, specifically those that have IU recruits or potential players that down the road, young players maybe that down the road have that ability to play at the high level. Archie Miller and his staff trying to get those guys on campus. It's a great recruiting tool, Drew. You get to bring them into Assembly Hall, even though the gym is essentially empty. They get to experience a big floor with a lot of history. Cook Hall, obviously, is kind of a newer, somewhat cutting-edge college basketball practice facility that they get to experience that as well. And I don't see any negatives to having a team camp or having a shootout or whatever you want to call it on a college campus. So now that the kids are back in with their high school teams for a great portion of this month, it's going to be interesting to track some of these guys with their schools, but also it's going to be interesting to see who actually plays at IU, plays at Bloomington, because in the past, that event, it's only been one weekend in the past. I think it's spread out now over a couple Saturdays. Mm-hmm. That event in the past has been an opportunity where the coaches, they can communicate with the players, and they've offered some scholarships during or after that event.
Yeah. You know, you've seen that, I believe even Jerome Hunter maybe 2 years ago, I think he got that offer after team camp. You look at a guy like even Christian Lander went there last year. He didn't get it right after, but a couple months later he got a scholarship offer. And, you know, you sit there and, you know, obviously last year was my first team camp and first team camp I've attended. And from what I understood prior to that, I don't believe the previous regime had done that for a while. And that was something that was kind of a head scratcher for me, because obviously, like you said, you get those guys to campus. It's a free visit. They come with their high school teams. You get unlimited interaction while they're on your campus. I just think that it is such a good recruiting tool that there's absolutely no reason that if you're a school like Indiana, you don't take advantage of that. I think it's a great way for you to, you know, get recruits, and not only the recruits, but sometimes their families come with them. So you get a lot of interaction throughout the weekend, as we saw last year with Trace Jackson Davis. When he came down and spent a day down there at the team camp with his center growth squad. And, you know, like you said, they little bit of a rule change, I believe, in the NCAA calendar has caused, a date on the 8th and a date on the 15th this year instead of the Saturday and Sunday like it was last year. So that's something for those that are wanting to attend and to pay attention to. You know, obviously Indiana is not allowed to, advertise their team camp, but those wanting to attend, you just show up, free entrance, and you can go watch those guys play. But I know in your area, I know Silver Creek slated to be there on the 8th, and Trey Kaufman and a potential matchup with him, and top 2022 prospect from Gary Westside, Jalen Washington. And that's a game that I really have circled that I really want to watch, because I think both those guys are very similar players. They play in the same space, and I think it's going to be a very fun matchup.
Sounds good. Drew Davis, Pigs.com. Great update on a lot of recruiting notes and nuggets today. Drew, thanks for the chat and all the information.
Oh, no problem, man. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely. Drew Davis with us here on a Tuesday edition of the program. It's going to be a busy month. Speaking of Summer League basketball, the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League, 200-something games over the first 3 weeks of June. Mondays and Wednesdays, the games are at Moore High School in Louisville. They are the anchor host. There are also some nights when games will be at Christian Academy of Louisville as well on Mondays and Wednesdays. Tuesdays and Thursdays, New Albany, the host. The games are at New Albany, Hazelwood, and sometimes Scribner. Hazelwood and Scribner, obviously, nearby middle schools to New Albany High School. Tonight, big day. The first game is actually at 2:30 this afternoon. So coming up here in just a bit, it's a JV, a freshman level game. But looking at the varsity schedule tonight, if you're interested, admission's $2. You get a stamp. You can come and go. You can stay the whole night at New Albany High School in the main gym. I'm going to run through this for you real quick. At 3:30, Rock Creek and Henryville varsity. At 4:30, Henryville and Floyd Central varsity. 5:30, Tell City and Rock Creek varsity. 6:30, here's a big one, Silver Creek and Ballard tonight at 6:30 at New Albany High School. 7:30, New Albany and Ballard tonight. 8:30, Silver Creek and St. X from Louisville. Other varsity games at Hazelwood, Male, who is really good, maybe the best team I've seen so far in the opening days of summer play. They take on Christian Academy at 4:30. Butler of Louisville takes on CAI as well. At 5:30, Floyd Central against Male tonight. Tell City against Clarksville. Lots of games. Hope you can make it out. $2 at the door, New Albany High School and Hazelwood. The full schedule is available. You can follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. I've got that for you. Well, that'll wrap things up for Tuesday. Have a great day. We're back Wednesday at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.